no tax.
The ethics panel pulls no punches with Congresswoman Maxine Waters. She's a 10-termer who has a good chance of being booted when she's tried this fall. Also, crazy story about a JetBlue flight attendant who goes ballistic and actually swears at the passengers and then just decides to slide down a chute and evacuate the plane. What's that about? Never know. It's a kooky, mad world, my friends. Hey, everyone. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Left, right, and any of those places in between. Don't care what your stripes are. If you have an opinion, you want to throw your two in, you know where to do it. That's right here on America Tonight, and we're going to solicit those calls later in the show. But right from the get-go, let's dive deep into the Maxine Waters deal. You know, this is, we know this already, right? This is a second Dem that has a chance to be sizzling through the trial process. And she didn't want to cut a deal for some reason. She didn't want to cut a deal. But what's crazy is the fact that she, it seems as though, she certainly knew what she was stepping into. She's accused of three different things. She was warned by Barney Frank to not help One United Bank. So she broke three house rules by failing to stop her chief of staff from providing any kind of aid, the kind of monetary aid that looks bad when your husband profits from the teeny tiny bank. The Boston Bank was looking for 50 mil in emergency money, because they were on the brink of financial collapse in September 2008. So she's square in the middle of this one because her husband, Sidney Williams, was part of the deal. I mean, he was an investor for that bank, and he was also on the board of directors there. Not looking good for Maxine Waters, who says that it's ridiculous what's happened and that she'll prove that there's nothing that she was complicit in here. But I think she dove herself a huge, huge grave. Just as bad as the Congressman Charlie Rangel from New York. So I think those two dominoes absolutely fall. I don't care what song and dance she comes up with. It doesn't look good at all. And ultimately, One United, just so you know this, FYI, got 12 mil from TARP in 2008, plus $17 million in private money. So therefore, her husband, who would have lost a ton of money because he had stock holdings, it wasn't wiped out. So her husband's interest in United One would have been completely worthless, and he had sunk a bunch of money into it. Now, she's lawyered up, of course. Of course she's going to lawyer up. And they're saying that they should push to have these, if they wanted, the ethics charges to get booted, because they said there was no factual basis to any of the assertions, the allegations, whatever, that United One would have failed without TARP funding. I think they got her, and they got her big time. But regardless, that'll happen in the next 2 months. So there's two seats for you, New York and California, barring a miracle. All right, barring a miracle. And this story was just too crazy to not mention at the outset of America Tonight. You know, we were just talking about flying and what it's like to fly. And just recently I flew. We were burying my grandfather in Florida. And I didn't have to go through any machines. I didn't have to do any of the body scanning thing because I went through Tampa and they didn't have them there. Now, in the future, Tampa may be one of the airports that is slated, but we know JFK and LaGuardia and Newark and Philly and some of those airports are going to get them first. This is the craziest thing. A lot of people swear by JetBlue. I've never flown them. I know that you can sometimes get good deals on them, and that also happened to be the airline where the people waited forever on the tarmac in New York for like 8 hours, and that was one of the things that prompted the new rules about the three-hour tarmac rule, or you have to turn around and go back to the airport. But anyway, this had nothing to do with any of that. Simply, this was a flight attendant who was arrested for deploying an emergency exit slide and slid down it. And he just said, screw it, I've had enough. So this cat, Steven Slater, decides to throw a bunch of F-bombs out very loudly on the flight's loudspeaker. He grabbed a beer. Can you imagine witnessing this? He grabbed a beer and then he deployed the evacuation slide because he decided he was going to get away. So now, naturally, he's in police custody. And what kind of charges do you get for doing something like that? I've never heard of this, for being a flight attendant who decides he's had enough and he just bails from the plane with this can of beer. So he's charged with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and trespassing. I mean, the most bizarre JetBlue flight yet. You know, the CEO of this airline, it was just beside himself when he heard this story. Because naturally it's going to make big news, and people are just starting to really learn about this as it just happened. So he fell. I guess apparently some of the overhead baggage fell on him. He was handcuffed once he got down to the bottom of the chute because things were going on. And he did. He jumped on. And this was late on Monday afternoon. He jumped on the PA, the public announcement system, you know, when they're telling you to please keep your seatbelts on or whatever. And he started to yell. Yeah, he started to scream. And he said to the passenger who called me a FFFF and whatever, I've been in this business 28 years. That's it. I'm done. So this was a guy who was a long time flight attendant, had a ton invested in this, and decided he's just popped his cork. He's had enough of it. Got the beers, went out, and the passengers were dumbfounded. And naturally, when that happens on a flight, your flight is delayed because they've lost a crew member. And plus you have the deployment of the chute on the side of the plane. So the thing is, what's so crazy about this, I mean, this is a dramatic exit from a job. You know, what do they call it? Walk-away money? But there's no walk-away money in this circumstance. We're talking about criminal charges here. If everything added up with all the charges, second, fourth degree criminal mischief, all that stuff, reckless endangerment, because he did endanger the people, criminal trespass, all that, he could get up to 7 years in prison. I mean, there's a great chance that he could end up doing some time. So was it worth it? Somebody was giving him the business, and he decided he had enough. So he was just gonna strike back. We're gonna talk about it. What in the world is going on? People just cannot contain themselves, I guess. They cannot contain themselves. All right, and this is the sad part of what we're going to mention when we get to the tail end of this hour. You know, we were talking about that massive China mudslide. In fact, DJ Frost, a pilot that was in Shanghai, an international flyer who we have on often to talk about what's going on in the airline industry, joined us from China, but he wasn't in this particular area and said, in fact, it was pretty dry where he was. But boy, did they get nailed outside of Beijing. 337 people dead so far. 1,000 people still missing, and most of that was because of the aftermath. It was the mudslide, so people were frantically, and still, I understand, are digging to try to find people buried underneath the mud. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
If you are concerned about heart health, have heart problems, or know someone who does, this message is for you. LifeWise Naturals introduces HeartWise with citronol, CoQ10, hawthorn, and more. For premium cardiovascular health, just 2 HeartWise capsules per day provide optimum levels of powerful nutrients to promote cardiovascular energy, healthy blood pressure, circulatory health, and normal cholesterol levels. HeartWise is made with patented ingredients using only research-based potencies of individual nutrients. This exclusive formulation works in multiple ways, providing comprehensive cardiovascular protection. A 30-day supply of HeartWise with Citronol and CoQ10 is only $22.50. GCN listeners, order HeartWise now and receive a free bottle of True Pomegranate, one of the most effective superfoods and antioxidants available. Mention product code HEART when you call 800-643-9558, 800-643-9558, or go to freeheartoffer.com. That's freeheartoffer.com today.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
There seems to be no in-between in this one. You either think that the private who leaked the stuff to WikiLeaks.org is a hero or a flat-out traitor, and almost everybody on the street has an opinion on this. And this is a story that's still brewing because there's supposedly more documents that are going to come out. To talk about that and a couple of other things, we're pleased to welcome to the show a man who's got out an interesting book and has a very, very interesting organization that he's part of. And his name is M. Salahuddin Khan. And what he's part of, he was co-executive producer of a movie called The Boundary. And that was a movie that talked about civil liberties at the border. We talk about this all the time. And this is now post 9/11. This is part of what we're talking about with airport security and all this other kind of stuff. And he also is a publisher of a magazine called Islamica magazine. And fascinating background: artist, writer, inventor. I would take up all the show giving you his credentials, but for a different perspective on some of the stuff that we've been talking about a lot here on America Tonight, we welcome him in from our virtual green room. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it, Mr. Khan.
Hey, thank you, Kate. It's nice to be with you this evening.
All right, as I said, we just really scratched the surface about what you've done in your life and what you're trying to do. One of the things that I wanted to start with is the fact that you're trying to help in rural Pakistan. And this is We've talked to journalists in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. We've talked to people there, and we know how awful it is in the rural areas there. Why, in helping the people there, in reaching out with education and health care and a better way of life, doesn't this get, and I'm going to put words out here that you can either dispute or say, oh, yeah, absolutely. Doesn't this push, isn't this helpful to the people to try and steer some of those, let's say, young men away from joining up with the forces of the likes of Al-Qaeda or others that would prey upon their minds and, you know, see the disparity and try to get them to be involved in an anti-Western movement?
Well, very much so, Kate. I think the problem is quite large. It's not just a matter of the young men and their degree of education. But it's also to do with making sure they have opportunity. For example, if they get injured early in life, does that sort of curtail their opportunity for any kind of an income later? If they don't have basic health care, for example, their education needs obviously are important. Just economic opportunity. We talk about rural areas. They still have their needs for those kinds of things.
Yeah, and what have you found in digging around and in trying to develop the social mobilization that you're working with, that you're trying to make happen there? Have you had some movement, other people joining up, or is the word starting to circulate, in other words?
Well, the Human Development Foundation, which is the organization that you're referring to, has a very good track record of success, but obviously being a non-government organization, it can only achieve a certain amount at a certain scale. But the model that it uses is extraordinarily successful. It's been used in places that prior to actually going in there, no one would have ever believed that the kind of development advances would have taken place. And I don't mean here modernization, but I simply mean things like basic access to education, or primary health care, or just community organization in a way that they can help themselves.
Yeah. You wrote a book recently. You published a book called Sikandar, which is about, in a nutshell, a ways of reaching across all those years of the conflict rather that's been brewing forever in Afghanistan. Give us a little thumbnail sketch into what motivated you to write this.
That's a very interesting question. I probably couldn't answer it perfectly accurately, sort of getting inside my own head. but certainly brewing inside of me had been for, a good almost a decade, I guess, since about 9/11. It's sort of just an accumulating body of thought as to where I see a lot of divergence in understanding between one culture and the other. And this medium of fiction seemed to be a very good way of addressing it. And so when I got into that sort of project, it became apparent that although the subject is roughly the last decade, in fact, its origins go back a lot longer than that. And the sort of novel unfolded from the mid-80s in order to make sense of what was happening in the sort of first decade of this century.
Yeah. Salahuddin, where we are now in Afghanistan and what's happening with the NATO forces and what's happening, I'll just take the chunk of them being Americans, and really this is the Americans, I'll call it the Americans trying to reach out and trying to touch the people and trying to use diplomacy. Do you think it's working?
To a degree. I don't want to suggest that it's a total abject failure. I think that there are elements of that process that maybe we just need a lot more patience to see it actually play through. The general name for that strategy is counterinsurgency. It's the hearts and minds aspect of the overall American strategy, and counterterrorism has sort of resurfaced as something that needs to be done because I think the American policy shifted slightly very recently since General Petraeus went there to trying to dissuade the elements that are sort of persuadable in the Taliban from doing too much of this insurgency by actually threatening them directly with targeted strikes, you know, and killing them. So that's like a strong disincentive in this sort of late stage with counterinsurgency, this parallel effort of counterterrorism. That's one part of it. The other part I think that we need to pay particular attention to is the concern within the Afghan people that what happens in the face of an American departure? How do they hedge themselves against the possibility that the mission hadn't succeeded, for example, and the Americans depart? In that situation, they can't afford in many, many parts of the country to completely alienate themselves from the Taliban in case there's repercussions afterwards. I mean, that's just a hedging sort of mentality.
Yeah, so you can't blame the people because they have to survive, they have to thrive, and as you know, it's an illiterate culture. Illiteracy runs rampant. I've talked to many journalists. There's one in particular we have on the show, Anand Gopal, who told me, listen, flat out, everything happens within the mosque. If you want to have the people understand you, you have to be there, you have to have the discussion. You know, how many people in Afghanistan and many of these villages own televisions, for example, when you had some of the generals apologizing for some of the civilian strikes? He said to me, I thought it was great that they did that, but a lot of that will get lost because many of the people don't even have the access to TV. So you're dealing with a whole different culture, as you discussed when we first started talking about Afghanistan and your book and whatnot. So you think that if the Americans leave and there is no end game, that just kind of could put things back in the same position they were before, right, with the Taliban?
I think the people there certainly feel the prospect of that, that whatever the strategy is doing is not so compellingly, convincingly eliminating the threat of the Taliban, so that the people can feel a confidence in their future in the absence of the Americans. That's one point. The other point is that the American strategy has to be more than an exit strategy. It has to be a lot more comprehensive than merely how do we get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely. I mean, I keep talking about the end game and where's the trail and what happens because it just seems like it's never ending. But I think there has to be some system in place, absolutely, no doubt. Mr. Khan, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight. We just scratched the surface. We'd love to have you back on. We'll do that and we can discuss some of the other things that are coming down the pike. You have a good one.
Thank you very much, Kate.
All right, coming up on the flip side, as I was mentioning, the latest deal on WikiLeaks next here on America Tonight.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes, yes.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are essentially located and quickly package and ship daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample, or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no use.
Alright, today I picked up a copy of the Wall Street Journal and found out that yet another human rights group is pushing WikiLeaks to do a better job of doing something to get the names from the thousands of war documents that they've decided to publish. Because, remember, this was my biggest criticism. My criticism of the WikiLeaks thing, in one way, a website where there are documents that say what's really going on and they're there in black and white for all to see isn't such a bad thing, because we know that there are cover-ups and power corrupts and there are people who do things that they don't in government that they don't want you to know. And whether it's in the shadows of defense of the country, or whether it's for their own personal gain on the Hill or whatever it is. Thus, the Pentagon Papers and things that have happened in the past, other things that have happened. So, in theory, I'm all about the small government and finding out what's really going on. If there's some ticking time bombs, absolutely, let's find out. Whether it's in the war effort or whatever it is, or in the home front. But the thing that is so bad about that, and the thing that nicked me, is the names. The names of the Afghan people who flipped. I mean, when I say they flipped on the Taliban, because they're aiding the U.S. military. So if your name clearly is on a document that the Taliban has access to, which they do, because anyone in the world can type in WikiLeaks.org and get all the documents. That's the idea. But now you have this, you've got another group, because there's been, by my count, I want to say there's like five, right? And they're talking about the fact that the founder isn't really doing anything to remove the names from the thousands of documents, that the names are there, and that should happen. Get them out of there. And some of the groups involved are Amnesty International, Campaign for Innocent Victims in Conflict, Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission, the Kabul Office of International Crisis Group, and I won't go through all of them, but that's some of them. So the email to this founder guy, who's getting massive publicity, Julian Assange, is that we're concerned about the safety, frankly, of the people who are helping, because they're there for everybody to see. And they've already published 76,000 documents so far, and the plan is to up the ante, to throw another 15,000 more out there. So some of the already published stuff included people that the Pentagon claims could lead to maybe the loss of life or some kind of harm for them, as seen as helping the U.S. war effort. So the Pentagon last week, if you're keeping score on this one, demanded that WikiLeaks hand over all the classified Afghan war documents it has. Well, I mean, shame on the Pentagon. They screwed up, because I'll say this one more time. Who's handling the documents? Who knows what? That's their fault. That's on them. Were too many people handling sensitive information that clearly could have been passed down the chain or hacked into or whatever? And the answer is yes. And certainly they should know their own documents. And if WikiLeaks says they have more, well, then you know that it's going to be about casualties, Afghanistan casualties, civilian casualties, and maybe some other shoe will drop. And there's going to be names in it. That's what it's going to be much of the same, I'm sure. Now, what WikiLeaks is posting on a Twitter account they have is that the Pentagon wants to bankrupt us. This is what they said on Twitter. Pentagon wants to bankrupt us by refusing to assist the review, and the media won't take responsibility. Amnesty won't. What to do? So WikiLeaks wouldn't say anything about the exchange with any of the groups that I mentioned. But the problem is that now the founder is saying, look, I'm too busy. I have no time to deal with people who prefer to do nothing but cover their rumps. And if Amnesty does nothing, I'm going to issue a press release highlighting its refusal. So now it's really starting to get nasty. And I would be concerned about the execution of the civilians, because that's what's going to happen. The Taliban will get the names, they'll line up the people, their heads will be on sticks outside of the villages. I'd be stunned if they weren't. If they get the names, which easily and clearly can be had, if you go there yourself, you will see, and you can pull them out. It's like when you see like police blotter stuff that's readily available, but sometimes things are blacked out. You know when you get documents where stuff's blacked out of it? Well, the names could have been blacked out. I don't see why they didn't do that. They probably didn't think about it. They just knew they had some juice on the fact that there was these civilian casualties and reports of it and what was happening on the front lines. And I mean, it is kind of intriguing when you go through it. But the problem is, what is the damage to the effort at this point? And what kind of light does this shine or shed on the Afghanistan war? And what kind of secrets are really being released? And who are the targets? And what's the real score here? And the answer to that is you're looking at pretty much the technical jargon from what happened on several missions. I mean, it's like reading and trying to decipher a coded diary, I guess, in a way. And so you're trying to put the pieces and make the pieces fit together. But I do agree with Amnesty International and the rest of the groups, the concern, the number one concern is the bad part of this, is the fact that those names were on there. Because the people shouldn't be the victims here. And even the founder of WikiLeaks, I'm sure, would agree with that. The innocent people who are helping should not be slain as a result of this. And unfortunately, they're the innocent bystanders that are probably going to bite it, at least some of them, because their names were on the documents. So whistleblowing, releasing the info, deciphering what the American people didn't know, I get it. But the damage done to the innocents in this, you got to look at that side of it. And to me, he's complicit in that. He knew they had the documents. I think they should have blacked the names out. That's all he had to do, black the names out. And then that way, there's no chance of, and maybe it still could happen because rumors start or somebody is trying to cover their trail in helping some of these soldiers who come to the villages, because they have to have the translators and they have to get to know the people in the village. And that can still leak out anyway. But having it in black and white saying that so-and-so's taking them to point A and then led them to whatever, oh, there's no question about it. Because you see those as official documents, and there it is for all the world to see. So pretty tough, I think, to deny it. All right, coming up on our next segment of America Tonight, we're going to dive into odds and ends. And boy, there's a lot of odd stuff going on. There's a crazy story about a man in Tampa, where I just came from, who was stung over 500 times, they say, by Africanized bees. How does that happen? And then there's a nutty story about Levi Johnson, what's going to happen next with him, as though we care, except for the connection to Sarah Palin. And this is a rather odd twist in his story. Sarah Palin's daughter booted him because apparently he might have gotten some other girl pregnant. But the other part of this is the political side. So wait till you hear what he's doing next. There's something about that 15 minutes, I think, that is tough to shake. And he's got it bad. He joneses for the spotlight. Also, this would be, I think, my blunder of the week so far. Vicente Fox, you know that name, the former Mexican president, he decides he's going to throw in his 2 cents. Only he's not calling a talk show. Instead, he's saying that his country should legalize the production and sale of drugs so that they can curb all the cartel violence. He went on further to say, you know, legalizing narcotics would end all the funding of the crime groups because they use the profits from the drug trade to consolidate power, and nothing else is working. So the cost of the fight against crime and everything else in the country has been enormous and hasn't really led to much. The drug war has killed 28,000 people in Mexico since 2006, so in 4 years. And this is since Felipe Calderon entered office and vowed to take on the cartels. So what do you think about that? Drug legalization? Boy, you do that in Mexico, the country that we bordered to the south, but we don't do that in the United States. And where is the biggest drug consumption? in the United States. That would be the biggest market, wouldn't it? For certainly the Mexicans taking it over. Odds and ends next.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Now folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Ends loose lips in conversation when it comes to politics. Everything's fair game, whether it's accurate or not. We know that because of recently what's happened with Shirley Sherrod and the whole soundbite on the conservative website and charges that she was a racist, and then the whole speech revealed. White farmers coming out and saying that they were, particularly one, that he was helped by her and their family would not have survived without her help. And you know that whole saga. And that's not over with, my friends. So here's the latest one. There's two, actually. The Rand Paul campaign is saying, and we've had Rand on the show a couple of times, he says they're considering legal options over this kidnapping story. And Paul's campaign has a big spotlight on it for a very big position, running for the Senate seat in Kentucky. Many of you listening in Kentucky know what I'm talking about, obviously, because you're going to go to the polls in how many days? 84 days, something like that. And you're either going to check him or the other guy who is trailing in the polls right now. But anyway, the Kentucky Republican says there's been some blowback to the allegations in GQ magazine. There was these odd allegations that Paul was a pot-smoking kidnapper in his college days. And what they're saying is, in the GQ magazine, that it was a teenage, they didn't even call it a prank, really. That's what they called it, that he was part of a deal where, in this group that he ran around with, they were smoking a lot of pot and did one of these college year stoner things, hanging out at dorms, etc. And specifically in the piece, it goes back to that old thing about, did you ever try pot and did you know what happened and all that kind of stuff. And this was just a classic college prank. You've got a girl from the swim team who was kidnapped and blindfolded, and they forced her to take a bong hit before making her pray to the Aqua Buddha, I guess, is what's being reported in GQ. But it's like one of those fraternity pranks that he was involved in. So it was at the time when he was at Baylor, and it happened one afternoon in the early 80s, and understandably the people connected to it cannot say for sure if they're a bit off on their version of it. How far along was he in the prank? Was he just the third guy down the road or whatever? So the way it was reported by this woman who was anonymous, because of her current job as a clinical psychologist, she's saying that a couple of guys came to the house, blindfolded, put in the car, and tried to force her to take bong hits because they were smoking pot. She refused, and they took her out to the countryside, and they stopped near a creek, and blah, blah, blah. And it was a prank thing. So now Paul is saying that he may go after them for reporting that, and especially with fuzzy details. And for the record, he went to Baylor, but he didn't graduate. The reason why is because he had great test scores. It was off the charts, almost like Mensa-like. So he went to Duke instead, and he went to medical school. He was able to get picked up, boom, and go to medical school. He was that smart, head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. So it'll be interesting to see what the follow-up of that is. Because it just goes down to those same lines of stories that are reported, but, oh, yeah, that sounds really juicy, and, you know, the whole drug thing, it was like Bush with Coke and stuff with Clinton and pot and, you know, I didn't inhale or whatever. It's just kind of a loose thread and anonymous sources. Now, hey, some version of that may or may not have happened, but it's an interesting time to unwind it, and that's what the deal is in politics. You have to have very thick skin. And then there was this story, and she's trying to take it back. Alveda King, who is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and she's a conservative activist. A lot of people really like the way that she speaks. And she was at a rally in Atlanta over the weekend and had this to say. She said, it's statistically proven that the strongest institution, meaning marriage, guarantees procreation and continuity of the generations is marriage between one man and one woman. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to be extinct, and none of us wants to be, so we don't want genocide. We don't want to destroy the sacred institution of marriage. And she was talking about what happened as far as Prop 8 was concerned and the judge saying no dice on Prop 8 anymore and the fact that it's being challenged. Now, I don't get the big deal on this because she said stuff like this before and talked about it and talked specifically on her religious views and her very conservative views. But it got massive publicity, and the thing that really came out is Dr. King's niece calls gay marriage genocide. So, thus, the odds and the ends, it's all part of the game. It's all part and parcel of running for office, right? This has nothing to do with politics, but it does fit in nicely to O&E. Sadly, a tree trimmer was attacked by these Africanized bees, and he was released from the hospital for the first time since that happened. 500 bees. He was working on a tree in the front yard of a house. He cut through this massive hive, and the swarm just came smashing right toward him. So his hands and his face swollen still. From head to toe, he's covered in bee stings. Oh, that's awful. And they still are pulling stingers out of him, even though he's been released from the hospital. And he said his attack would be, you know, what does that feel like? He said it was like someone sticking a needle in him repeatedly all over his body. And this is a guy who, his name's Ralph St. Peter. He's a guy who's done this for 30 years. He knew that there were honeybees in the tree, but not the Africanized type and not the possible 50,000 bees. Because he got stung 500 times, but they believed there was 50,000 bees that were swarming him. Lucky for him, his coworkers were around. They tried to get him down from the tree, and they probably saved his life, because with that many bees and they weren't stopping, he probably would have died. But that's one of those things where they tell you, you know, where you get back on the horse, the old expression, when something happens, you have to just get back on the horse, not be afraid. I don't think I could do that. I think I'd have a hard time probably trying to do that. Will he have a hard time or not? And that's Levi Johnson running for the mayor of Wasilla. And that's a position, as all of you know, Sarah Palin held. Now he's not part of the Palin clan whatsoever. At one point he was engaged to Bristol Palin, but that's been called off due to the fact that he's fooling around with everybody, and it looks like he got somebody else pregnant. So that's done. She doesn't want anything to do with him, says he's all about the 15 minutes of fame and reality shows and just wants to be famous and all this other sort of stuff. So he's decided to push it one step further, and there actually is a movement to elect Levi as the mayor of Wasilla. Ooh, what kind of qualifications do you think he has? And what are they thinking in Wasilla? There's got to be someone better to run against this cat. I'm telling you. Thoughts? Send them to me at americatonight.net.
Worse? How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.